Been an absolute joy to be here, and I have enjoyed every service. Of course, I love my preaching. I think the Barkowskis have an unfair advantage, don't you? I think he could send his family, he could stay home, and he could still raise support and whatever he needed. So that was very, very enjoyable, and the kids are precious. It's fun to watch families with little kids. Don't you miss having yours at home? And all the joy that they brought. And grandkids are great, but boy, there's just something. I better just stop there. I'll get myself in trouble. Grandkids are great, that's for sure. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I have been treated so kindly. Thank you for your graciousness, your hospitality, just kindness extended to me. The attendance has, I know that COVID is upon us, but I just thank you for being so faithful to the meetings. And this is a wonderful Sunday morning crowd this morning. And hopefully soon we can combine and everybody can actually go to church together again. Amen. Amen. I am looking forward to that day. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to speak to you for a few moments on this subject, beyond my world. Beyond my world. Begin reading in verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Let's pray and we'll ask God's help. Father, we're thankful for this day and this opportunity to preach and to be together, assembled together. Lord, help us never to take that lightly, that great privilege. We pray today that you would meet with us, speak to our hearts this morning. We're needy people and we're gathered because there's much for us to learn, and we offer ourselves, speak to us, Holy Spirit, and convict our hearts, teach us much, we pray. Encourage people and draw us closer to you. If we need to be challenged and convicted, would you do that as well, Spirit, we pray. So bless, in Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Well, the world is an immense place. I know that's not a startling statement, it's just true. 7.5 billion people. You know, we say that, and yeah, 7.5 billion. I don't even know that I have the capacity to grasp that. I don't even know what 7.5 billion people is. I kiddingly say I struggle after 10, okay? And so to go to 7.5 billion is beyond my capacity. But add to that, it's not just the number, it's the diversity. Think of all the languages that are spoken on this planet. Did you know that there are multiple thousands of languages that do not yet have the scriptures in their language? I can't imagine knowing the Lord and then walking with the Lord and not having a Bible that I could pick up and communicate between the Spirit and I with the Lord from His Word. And yet, there are whole groups of people that don't have the Word of God. I think of all the colors and all the nationalities and all the cultures. And I just tell you, I get overwhelmed by how big this is. And then also by the fact of how exclusive it is that no matter what your language or your color or your culture or your nation, there is but one name whereby every man must be saved. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord loves every person on this planet and desires for every person to hear the name Jesus and to know Jesus as their Savior. And so His heart is given to us as our job. It's our job to reach the world with the truth of Jesus Christ. Now my problem is that I am so much smaller. My world is so much smaller than God's world. I don't mean just in the sense of scope and geography and understanding. I mean in the sense of being able to love and be concerned for all the people that He loves and is concerned for. You see, sometimes I'll confess the truth to you about Mike Edwards. Sometimes my life is lived within about a 3-foot bubble of what touches me, of what concerns me, of what affects me. And that's the scope of my understanding of life. That's the scope of how I deeply care. I wish I was bigger than that, but just telling you the truth, sometimes that's where I'm at. And one of the purposes of this conference, and by the way, I am so grateful for missions conferences. Why do we have meetings like this? Because I think it's helpful at least once a year to mark out a time where we say to ourselves, hey, buddy, it's bigger than you. There are people beyond you, and there are needs beyond yours, and there are hurts bigger than yours, and we mark a time where we think about something and somebody besides us. And we're challenged to live beyond where we are. The Apostle Paul was a man, I believe, who learned to live beyond. He was a man that was born in the area of Syria, but his world stretched from Asia Minor to Spain, from North Africa to Israel, not because he was some jet-setting businessman or a tycoon of some kind, but because he had a heart for the gospel to reach people. This passage that we read talks about him living beyond his measure, living to go to regions beyond his home, and even living beyond his means. And I think we ought to ask God, would you challenge me? Would you convict me about living beyond my own self, my own problems, my own hurts? God, help me be a man who lives beyond. I want to notice those with you this morning, if you would, for a moment. I want you to notice that first, Paul says he wanted to live beyond his measure. Look back at verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. You have to understand that there were times, many times, where the relationship between the church at Corinth and the Apostle Paul were a little bit tense. They were a little adversarial. And part of that, I think the genesis of that, was that the church of Corinth was a pretty carnal place. And they had a lot of wrong emphasis and influence in that place. And so they kind of did not like the authority of the Apostle Paul, and they would become adversarial towards him. And what Paul is saying in verse 14, if we'll unpack it a little bit, is that they were challenging his desire to reach the world. They were saying things perhaps like this: Paul, you talk about reaching the world. You talk about the needs of the world. Don't you understand that we have needs here in Corinth? Don't you understand that our lives have hurts? Don't you understand that we've got problems? And here you come to us, talking to us about using our resources to help you reach a world. Hey, Paul, aren't you kind of a dreamer? Don't you just think we ought to take care of the home base? And Paul, why don't you quit challenging us to take care of the world? You're a dreamer. You're not going to take the gospel to the whole world, Paul. And I love what Paul says back to him. We brought it to you. I want you to think about that for a moment. We brought it to you. You see, there were always those who said, you can't take the gospel beyond Jerusalem. I mean, the gospel is for the Jews, and we have an understanding of monotheism. We know there's one God. You're not going to take the gospel beyond Jerusalem. And God shook that city up a little bit, and lo and behold, they took it to Samaria. And when they took the gospel to Samaria, guess what? The Samaritans got saved. Why, a whole city got saved when Jesus went to Sychar. And they were amazed that the gospel could go from Jerusalem to Samaria. And then there were those who said, well, you know, the Samaritans, they do have some background of monotheism and Judaism. Now, they're not anything they used to be, but maybe the gospel could go there. But you could never take the gospel to Gentile nations. But they did. And it jumped over to Antioch and into Asia Minor. And Antioch became the place that they were first called Christians. I bet that bugged them in Jerusalem, don't you? They were first called Christians in Antioch. And from Antioch, we see one of the greatest missionary movements and fervor that the world has ever seen. And not only does the gospel go to Antioch, but it jumps in an ocean, the Adriatic, and it goes to Europe and goes to Corinth. And people at Corinth got saved. And now they're the people who are saying, well, it could never go. Of course it can. And by the way, aren't you glad the gospel jumped another ocean and came to the new world, and you and I sit here today? Because it can. Everything about reaching the world is impossible if you view it from your own measure. Mike Edwards never has enough. He will never be enough. But if you pour into a surrendered Mike Edwards the power of the Holy Spirit is enough. And God can do His work. And that's why Paul is careful to tell us that the glory is not His. He says in verse 17, "He that glorieth, let him not glory in the Lord." Paul was wise enough to know it wasn't the force of his will. It wasn't the strength of his personality. It wasn't his glibness or his smile or his appearance. It was the Spirit of God working through him. And he gloried in what God could do, not what he could do. And so I say to you, job number one for a conference like this is for us to understand that by our own measure, we are not enough, but with God in us and working through us, it can be done. When we step into the plan of God, everything becomes possible. And so there are those who might sit in this congregation and say, I could never go to a field. Well, you're right. But pour God into your surrendered will, and sure you could. There are those who sit here today that would say, why, I could never give more, or I could never give to missions. Well, of course you can. But if you will pour the Spirit of God into your surrendered will, of course you can. Because it is not about our measure, it is about the measure of God working through us. And may I give you this caution? That sometimes we come to a place in life where we are content with where we are. We're content that we've done enough. And you and I must be very careful that we never hinder the work of the Spirit of God in and through our lives. With God, we can do more. I want you to notice, second, not only did he live beyond his measure, he lived beyond his borders. Look at verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. One of the great political questions in our nation today is how do we deal with all of the people who are trying to come into our country, both legally and illegally? And I think that's a question that needs to be answered. And I'm glad that, I hope that there are people that are working on that solution to that answer or to that problem. But I want you to know that the greater focus for us sitting in this room today is who do we send out? What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that the harvest is white already. The fields are white already under the harvest, but the laborers are few. Can I say it again? The laborers are few. Sometimes our mind goes right away to saying, you're right, preacher, people need to go. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to get their heart right and be surrendered and let God use them in that way. But it's funny that somehow that never comes to, here am I, Lord, send me. One of the purposes of this missions conference ought to be for every single one of us to not only wrestle with our willingness to sacrifice in what we give, but our willingness to sacrifice in how we live. And Lord, I am willing to go. I am willing to go to a region beyond where it is comfortable for me to be. Paul was a man interested in reaching the regions beyond. He was saved around 42 AD, and he spent some silent years, nearly four, in the desert, being taught personally by the Lord, being taught by others. Around 46 AD, he began traveling the world, preaching the gospel. For the next 15 years of his life, he traveled by foot and by ship. He was supported by others, but also, when needed, he worked as a tent maker with his own hands. He preached in cities and in villages, both in and out of season. He preached in Jerusalem, but also in North Africa, over in Asia Minor. He preached in Greece and the continent of Europe. He preached in the islands of the Mediterranean. He went to Italy and preached in the capital of that great Roman Empire, the city of Rome itself. And I am absolutely convinced that if Paul would have had modern means of transportation, he would have covered the globe. Because his heart was the regions beyond. He preached to Jews, but he also preached to pagans, to paupers and kings, to anyone who would listen to him, to include those who kept him in chains in the Mamertine and other prisons in Rome and in his life. There simply was no border, there was no barrier that could keep him out if it was the Lord's will that he go in. He literally lived the Great Commission. Tried to understand that phrase, regions beyond. And I looked at a number of commentators, and I loved what one commentator said. He said, when it came down to it, regions beyond simply meant still further. Still further. The Apostle Paul lived a life that said, it's not enough. Can I remind you of the life that he led? Can I remind you that he was a man who was beaten? He was a man that was stoned and left for dead outside the city of Lystra. I believe personally that the problem with his eyes might well have come because of the stones that pounded his head and his eyes. Can I remind you that he lived a life that was shipwrecked? I don't know for sure, but I don't think his mommy gave him swimming lessons as a boy. And I think he was glad for a board that passed by that got him to land. He lived a life that hazarded his life. He lived a life that was not an easy life. And yet, if you could have talked to him on the last day of his life before they marched him out of Rome and martyred him by cutting his head off, his attitude would have been, if they'll let me go, I'll go still further. Sometimes we come to the place where we just want to be left in our bubble. I don't want to step out of what is convenient. I don't want to step out of what is comfortable. I am secure. I know where I am, and I want to be here, when our attitude ought to be still further, still growing, still surrendering, still seeking to be used. If you and I are going to have the Spirit that will reach a world with the gospel, it cannot be, I want to stay where I'm at. It's got to be still further. Yes, I can give more. Yes, I can pray more. Yes, I can trust God more. Yes, I can grow more. There is still further. One of my favorite missionaries, a man named C.T. Studd, was a great cricket player, had a great career. He went to a D.L. Moody rally and got saved, and he had to give up his cricket career, became a missionary, went to China and Africa. But he was also a prolific speaker, and he said a couple of things. I'll give them to you. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." I like that spirit. He was willing to go. He also said this, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." He also said, "Only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." But how do I get there? Preacher, how do I get there? How do I step out of where I am? How do I see the need? How do I develop the heart, the mind that the Apostle Paul developed? And the only thing I can tell you is that we've got to see what Paul saw, and what he saw was what Jesus Christ saw. We have to see the world like Jesus sees it. Here's how the songwriter put it. "Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden. Blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully." Sometimes we're so disinterested because it doesn't touch us. Since starting Wednesday night, we're approaching 600,000 people that went out into eternity. Hey, but none of them were from our church. And none of them were our family. And so we sit uninterested, unempathetically, because it didn't touch our bubble. But can I tell you this? God knows every name. God knows every life. Some of them were believers and they're rejoicing in heaven today, but the vast majority, more than likely, were not believers, and the Lord grieves over their souls. And here's what really grieves me today, that the majority or some portion of those who died without Christ never heard His name. But we're busy. And it doesn't touch us. And the conference will be over tonight. And we can go back to where we were. And can we live quiet? And folks, Paul came to the place in his life where it mattered to him. It mattered to him that people were dying without Christ. And you and I must plead with God, "Oh God, help me to see with your eyes, and help me to see what you see, and hurt like you hurt, and give me some empathy with this world that is dying without you." Here's the last thing I'd say to you. Not only did Paul live beyond his measure and beyond his borders, he lived beyond his means. Ooh, it grieves me to say that because I'm the cheapest individual you've ever met, and I do not recommend you live beyond your means when you are indulging yourself. But I am saying to you that God increase our faith so that we can live beyond our comfort zone. God, increase our faith and your grace so that we can move ourselves off the priority of our life, so that we can sacrifice and give, so that men like the Barkowskis and their family, men like the Johnsons and their family, can reach parts of this world that have no sense of who Christ is. I believe the best giving is sacrificial giving. And I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, where we are told that the Lord Jesus literally impoverished himself so that we might be made rich. He who was out sin identified and became sin so that we who were sinners could be forgiven our sin and made rich in his grace, and then add to it that it is our lot in life to have been born in this great nation or get to this great nation where we are affluent beyond most of the world's understanding and rich in grace and rich in God's prosperity. Oh Lord, help us to remember that you love sacrificial giving. Sometimes we become so focused on ourselves that we lose the ability to understand that God wants us to give. Too often we live our lives timidly, offering out of our abundance that which is convenient rather than truly entering into the Spirit of Christ and giving sacrificially. Too often, I fear that we're going to reach a place in our life where we will regret the opportunities we had to put others first, but we choose self and choose the security and the comfort of our bubble. I told the morning service I was saved when I was 23 years old. I was a young married man. We had one child and a child on the way. And I am so glad I got saved, and we both got saved. I rejoice in that, but one of the great regrets I have in my life is the 23 years of my life. I lived in rebellion against God. I lived refusing to acknowledge God. I'm glad that since age 23, I have been able to live for the Lord. But one of the fears that I have, can I be honest with you? You say, you just live in fear all the time. Not all the time. Sober fear. I don't want to stand before God and say, well, I missed that opportunity. Well, I blew that. I don't want to live with regret towards the Lord. I don't think anybody's going to get to heaven and say, whew, I regret all the money I gave to missions. We could have gone to Disney. You preaching against Disney? Well, kind of. No. I regret all the money I tithed down there to Central Baptist. All they did was have Reformers Unanimous, a college trying to start churches and try to win souls. In 1904, a young man graduated from high school. His name was William Borden. Maybe you recognize that last name, Borden. If you're my age, you remember Elsie the Cow, amen? And Elsie the Cow meant you were speaking about the Borden Dairy. And William Borden was the son of the Bordens, and they were fabulously wealthy. They owned the dairy, but they owned all the businesses that were attached and spun off. And really, you talk about a man with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was set for life, and his father had trained him to be diligent. His mother, a believer, had trained him not only to be a diligent student, but also had talked to him about Christ, and he had received Christ as his Savior. And as a graduation gift, his father said, William, I'm going to send you around the world, a tour around the world. I want it to deepen you. I want it to broaden your vision because you're going to come home and you're going to build this company bigger than I ever could have. And so I want you to use this experience to learn the business world. And so William Borden, chaperoned, of course, was sent after high school graduation on a tour around the world. It just didn't work out like his father thought it would. Because instead of getting a vision for business, God spoke to Borden's heart and called him to a life of missions work. He saw the need, and when he saw the need, he responded and said, Lord, I don't want to give my life to dollars and cents. I want to give my life to preaching the gospel. And God impressed him with one group of people, seemingly so strange, but it was the Kanzu people in Mongolia area. Oddly, they're Arabic-speaking people living in China, between China and modern-day Russia. He came home and announced to his father, Dad, this is what God has spoken to my heart about. And his father was disappointed, but kind of had the attitude, as a young kid, he'll realize that it's more important to be in business. He'll lose this fervor for God's work, you know. And God, good heart, good, glad he feels that way, but he'll lose it. We're going to send you to New Haven, Connecticut. What a town, amen. We're going to send you to Yale and they'll take it out of you. When he got to Yale, he was on fire for God. He started Bible studies in his dorm. He started a rescue mission in the city. And he did great in his studies and literally was an evangelist at Yale. They found in his Bible a phrase that he had written during his student years, and it says this: say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. That was how he's living his life. When he graduated from Yale, he followed through on his commitment. And to be able to learn Arabic, he moved to Cairo, Egypt, before he could ever go and reach the Kanzu people. 25 days into living in Cairo, he contracted spinal meningitis. 30 days after contracting the disease, he died in Cairo alone. You say, what a waste. What a tragedy. Why, he could have given millions to missions. He could have done so much and influenced so much. They found his Bible, brought it home, opened it, and they found this phrase written several days before his death. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Wow. That's powerful. I don't want to go to heaven with regrets. I don't want to live within that little 3-foot bubble and learn that there's a whole world, an opportunity to reach that world. The songwriter put it this way, and with this I'll close. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More of my heart, more of my time, more of my resources. He's worth it. I love that line. When I look on his thorn-shadowed face. Oh yeah, I remember what you gave for me. And I lived grasping self. I wish I'd have given him more. You say you're talking about money? Nah, yeah, sure. Talking about time. Talking about life. He's worthy of more. And you and I must be very careful that we do not grow content inside our bubble and say, I've given enough. I've done enough. I've gone far enough. Still further. Would you pray with me?